podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burns, owner of eWebStyle.
Charles Lewis, your internet marketing specialist.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. Please remember, we are your friendly local neighborhood top position snatchers.
Yes.
Where our mantra is,
don't be a douche.
All right. I covered that. This is podcast number 209. Our previous podcast. 209. I'm sorry, I messed it up.
Yeah, you told me 208.
I did. I very specifically told you the wrong number of 208. This is 209.
I should have known that.
In podcast 208. That's the
not
one
gonna
you're
blame
asked
about. You. I should have known that. Yeah.
In podcast 208. That's above the line. That's good. Yeah. In podcast 208, we had a tip, and that tip says include Google Plus in your web marketing strategy for ranking, reviews, and authorship.
Yeah, you want to definitely make sure if you're doing some sort of internet marketing, include G Plus in your strategy for ranking purposes. If you get plus ones, you get shares. People put you in your circle, that will impact your ranking. For reviews, people who want to leave you a review for Google must go to your Google Plus page in order to leave that review. And lastly, authorship. If you're generating original content, original videos, and things like that, make sure your authorship is set up so you can claim your content, number one. And number two, Google will know that it's your content. And thirdly, display your avatar there, which increases your click-throughs and things like that. So
avatar.
G Plus must be part of your strategy moving forward.
That avatar is sexy, by the way. Like, I don't even care. It's on a SERP. There's an avatar. It's sexy.
209.
All right. So, speaking of G+, there's a small favor you can do if you like our podcast. If you don't like our podcast and are still a listener for some reason, if you appreciate our podcast sound has gotten better, if you just like the title of our podcast, if you like Chuck's raps... Go ahead and do one of these three things. I got more.
Yeah, I know you do.
The first one is, it's only three steps. Go onto iTunes, create an iTunes account, and write a review. And if you choose to, send us an email, podcast@e-webstyle.com. And we'll give you a punch in the face and let you know thank you for that review and potentially read that.
A punch in the face is a good thing.
And it is a good thing. Next thing that you could do is you could go to our G Plus local page and write a review. We've made it so easy to get to our...
Because it's normally kind of difficult.
Yeah, can you imagine if we had to give like google.com
It would be like plus... I almost memorized the number, too. It's like plus.google.com/... Yeah, 004, and it's
and
like
there's a 9,
12
and there's
more
a
numbers
6,
that I can't
and there's
think
a
of.
3. There may be more numbers. Those are some of them.
About, right? So.
So instead of that, we've made it easy. All you need to do is go to e-webstyle.com/G+.
/G+.
/Google+.
/Google+.
And so we've done that in the interest of ease, so that if you forget G or Google or one or the other, you can always just type the other and it will take you to our G Plus local page. What do they do when they get there?
Several things. One, we just told you what our tip was, so I need you to do all of those. Leave us a review, right? Tell us about the podcast, what you think, what we should change, what you like. And while you're there, go ahead and plus one us and put us in your circle.
Excellent. The last thing that you can do is you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/eWebstyle. And I was thinking about going into Twitter. And you can go to that Facebook page. There is a review tab. You can write a review. You can be the first, I think still, the first to write a review on our Facebook page. You will get extra patoofs, like a capital patoof, if you do
plural
that.
Plural patoofs.
Plural patoofs.
In all caps.
Yep. Yeah. And
it's like, punch in the face! Right? If it's in all caps.
I like that. Punch in the face! Why are you here?
Punch in the face!
All right, so you can stalk us, haunt us. We already gave you our Facebook page. I'm going to do it again. Facebook.com/eWebstyle. You can also haunt us at twitter.com/eWebstyle. Stalk us, youtube.com/eWebstyle. Which has got some, there's some algo stuff with that one, right? And last, send us an email, podcast@e-webstyle.com. And by the way, we're going to have the podcast@eWebstyle.com. ready soon, I think. We've already made the alias. It was kind of weird with how Google Apps works. We use Google Apps for email. And when I initially created it, mine didn't work. I created a new test account. It did work. I made a change to mine, and then it started working. And when I said didn't work, if you did Chris Burris at eWebstyle.com without the dash, that one wasn't working, and now it is working. So we're got to make sure that podcast. I did a test, and I don't know if I got around to looking at the results. So, We're going to have everything nice and continuous. There will be continuity. We will not have to say e-webstyle.com in our email anymore. All right, let's get to some information. Speaking of iTunes reviews, we've got two new iTunes reviews. I actually erased a whole tier tattoo because we got two. All right.
Let's get it.
And they're good. The best. Five stars. This is from Lag Innovations. We'll go with Lag Innovations.
Lag Innovations.
Like I said, it's 5 stars. The best SEO podcast on iTunes. Informative in an easy to understand way for the beginner and advanced. Love the sense of humor. Punch in the face. Mm. That was awesome. All right, next we have the best. Five stars. This is CIE101. We probably should know what that means.
CIE101.
I don't know. Yeah. All right, Mr. Psy. Just started listening and I love
Chuck
the info.
Is excellent.
Chuck is excellent. Yes, Chris is excellent. Just started listening and I love the info so far. You guys are the best. Punch in the face to y'all. Don't be a douche. And he points out, don't know why the other reviewer didn't understand the douche part. I think he was just playing around with us. I think he kind of knew and was saying, hey, you could interpret it two ways. And both ways are and both ways are equally entertaining and interesting, because don't be a douche is actually
pretty good also.
Yeah. And finally, we got an email. This is a question. It's an interesting, long, involved one. I'm not going to mention the names in it, right?
Okay,
I think that makes sense. A guy by the name of Jonathan sent an email and said, hey, guys, thanks for agreeing to look at this photo. Hey, that's interesting. I guess we did agree to. I think
we
said something.
Him.
And then I said, hey, send us an email. Quick background. A disgruntled person started a negative blog website attacking our CEO 4 years ago. When I came on board as the director of social media, I immediately began adding positive images at every opportunity he could.
Good job.
Jonathan, Patoof, good job on that. The good news, if you search for the last 12 months, the image results are great. All the time for this image still turns up more and for all time. Remember, one of the settings is for all time versus last 12 months. So for all time for this image still turns up more than I would like. And he sent us the image. If you scroll down, it's the one with the man in the lipstick and the black and white striped jail outfit. It's actually an interesting amateur attempt at
Photoshop.
Yeah. I have pushed the website down for 2 to 7 on the SERP page after 7 months from position 2, page 2, to page 7. I was just curious if there's additional methods that he could do. Thanks again. I don't mind you sharing the story in general, but I would ask you not to use the name of our company or, of course, the CEO. The disgruntled person has cooled their jets, but might find it good sport if he were to hear about my efforts and fire it back up. Hope for the punch in the face. Hope no more. Patoof. You got that punch in the face. Yeah, you're doing...
Jonathan, you're adding pictures. That's the only thing you could do aside from maybe contacting them and asking them to remove the photo, which case will likely do what you're trying not to do, which is get the disgruntled piece from this to start all over again. So my suggestion will be to keep adding those photos. Eventually, it will go down. And now, some photos in Google Images you can flag as inappropriate or whatnot. I'm not sure what sort of value that's going to have in regards to the entire SERP, because it may just remove it from your listing and not necessarily their index. But you may want to try that as well. But other than that, I mean, at the end of the day, that's public content. They posted it, and it was probably relevant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, which is why Google is ranking it. And so the only thing you can do is keep supplying better images.
And we had a discussion about this. We may be way off base or whatever. Sometimes we are in our discussions. It's like we were talking in our last podcast. The last podcast was 208, where we were talking about how we're hoping that in high school that our kids are getting educated in how to interpret reviews.
Yeah.
And this is, I find this in the same category. Like, I understand you want to push it down. It's probably even something that came down from your CEO and said, look, you've got to remove this, step one. Probably was mentioned in the interview.
No,
in fact,
no.
the fact that you had a methodology for getting it removed is probably one of the reasons you got hired, now that I think about it. And you're doing a good job. So it's one of those things, I know you can't just say, hey, like, people are going to be able to look at this and say, it's an idiot making fun of you or misinterpreting, he's angry, whatever, he's got other issues. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work when you're explaining it to him. And, you know, so you and I kind of both know, or we all know, and it's probably not that big a deal. And tough to explain that one to the CEO. So just great job doing what you're doing.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Cool. That is our, this is going to be fun. Woohoo! That is our, what was that? That was our question on email and our two reviews. Now I got a little bit of news.
Yep.
Before we get started, there's a new term that I really liked, and it's called astroturfing.
When you say that, it just seems like you should act like you're surfing. Yeah.
Astroturfing, right? And that is creating your own reviews, bogus reviews, astroturfing, reviews. Fake grass, astroturfing reviews, fake reviews.
I can dig it.
So the headline of this article is, give yourself 5 stars online, it might cost you. And by the way, it might cost you to the tune. 2 companies were fined. One of them, $75,000. Another one was $43,000 because they were found. It's deceptive trade. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, you know,
it's lying.
Yeah.
It's lying. You know, at the end of the day, it's lying.
We have access to people who could write positive reviews, a ton of positive reviews. And we've just always maintained even our Facebook page. We've got, you know, by the way, that's one piece of news that I didn't jot down here. We have 8,000 downloads of our podcast in the last week.
Wow.
We're 8,600 in the last week.
8,600?
Yeah. That's cool. Even though we have 8,600 downloads of our podcast per week, we only have like 430 Facebook fans. We could go out and purchase them. We could, you know, we could probably pay $50 and get 500 Facebook fans. And we just don't think it's just not right. It's just not the way. It's not organic. It's not natural. It's not the intended purpose of these things. And so the legality never entered our mind about not purchasing reviews. It's just not the right thing to do. And it also happens to be illegal and potentially very expensive.
Exactly.
So, it's good to see that people.
I mean, and then at the end of the day, I don't care how good this person is who wrote the fake review. I can tell fake reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can tell fake reviews.
Absolutely.
They just look fake.
One of them that they mentioned was, "I am not an employee. I've never been an employee.
Of course
I'm not associated." When have you ever written your own review and said that? Really? Yeah. What is it? Me doth believe you protethus too much or whatever it is. All right, next piece of news. This was cool. There's a Kickstarter project called Occipital, O-C-C-I-P-I-T-A-L. O-C-C-I-P-I-T-A-L. And what it is basically is a device that attaches to your iPad or something else, and you can actually walk around a room and it'll take measurements in the room. So then you could, like, as an example, we've got a closet designer as a client. You could go into your closet. You'd probably have to remove most, if not all, of your clothes and kind of wave the iPad around, and then boom, email to the closet designer your dimensions of your closet.
Oh, so the tool actually
creates
blueprints. The measurement.
Is that cool?
I didn't catch that the first time you said it.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
So the Kickstarter project's doing...
Oh, so I mean, you could literally pan the room and then it'll spit out... Yeah, 18 by 30.
One example they gave is they had a little tiny statue. They walked around the little tiny statue with the iPad. Then they did a 3D print of the statue.
In the exact same size and everything. That's what's up.
That's what's up. Their goal was $100,000. They now have $700,000. Not surprising. It just looks awesome.
Of course not.
And then you can play like games. Like one of the examples they had was like you're looking in the through the pad in the real environment, and your living room floor has cones on it, and you're driving a car through the cones. Anyway, it was just cool. Another piece of news: Google adds remote locking for missing in action devices. And thank you. That's just neat. Another thing I thought this was
should have
really
been cool. Did it.
Yeah, long time ago. And then finally, we've got an intern who had access to Great Britain's actual terrain data figured a way to import that data into Minecraft. So now if you play Minecraft, you can play in all of Great Britain, including bodies of water and roads. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I haven't just really been on a computer games like that.
And
but
yeah, I mean,
if I was, that would be pretty cool.
Well, it's kind of like Flight Simulator, which I've tried once, whatever, a long time ago. It sounds so cool. Like, I could fly. You can go fly Paris. Yeah. Like, in fact, you can do it with Google 3D Earth or Google Earth. So it's got a flight simulator built in it, and you can go around, you know, different terrain. So that is the potatoes of our podcast. It is time to get into the meat.
So we got a few punches in the face.
I'm sorry, no meat yet.
And we got some cataclysm. Like,
oh, did I skip algorithm? Wait, hold on. Where is that in my notes? Let me push that up. Yeah. Oh, wait. So, all right. Next, we have our segment called Algorithm Cataclysm. I even confirmed we were going to have it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So this has been a busy week with Google.
Yeah.
I mean, busy week. First off, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
They made 15 years this week.
15.
So,
wow.
That's what's up to you guys. And I guess.
Feels like 100.
I know, right? Especially with all of these cataclysms and all these algorithm changes. And we got two of them to talk about this week. The one and probably most important one was the PostPRISM, which is focusing on the security, right?
Right.
100%, they're going 100% not provided.
That's worth repeating, right? 100% not provided, unless it's PPC, right?
Unless it's PPC. And let me just say this. This really sucks.
Sucks.
I mean, from an SEO perspective, it's making it extremely difficult to determine, you know, which keywords are being most effective. And you know what I thought about? And actually, they mentioned this at the SEO Clarity Conference.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You went to a conference yesterday.
Think about Goose Creek, right? Analytics.
Right.
And the e-commerce analytics that show you which keywords generate the most sales. And it generated the most traffic
and sales.
It just makes
me want to kick them in the shins.
Yeah, so now our e-commerce clients, who we have e-com analytics going on, where we can track sales down to the keyword.
And
yeah, can't do that anymore. So this is not 100% not provided. Really, really sucks. But it is what it is, right?
So for today, it's not only the algorithm cataclysm, it's also the kick in the shins segment.
Yes, definitely kick in the shins.
We should try. Google, give us our keywords back before you take them away.
I think we just have to adjust. We have to adapt and we have to keep it moving. And I think part of that adjustment is leaning more heavily on like webmaster tools and things like that because they do give us some keyword data.
Right.
And so we'll have to parse that with, of course, whatever paid data we're using and then do some look at maybe some previous trends and use that moving forward. And
yeah, so you end up using some of the tools that are out there that track, you know, trends with keywords and your position and man.
Yeah, so we're going to try out SEO Clarity. I brought them up. Went to that conference. They actually have a pretty good tool that I'm anxious to try out that focuses on really the SEO going on your site, right?
So you were hired to do a wrap or two wraps, right?
Well, SEO Clarity. We went out, they had Clarity 13. It was in Austin yesterday. They booked the SEO rapper. Came out and we performed at lunch, and then we did it again after party. It was at the Four Seasons, downtown Austin. It was really cool. Had a great time, great company. I got a chance to look at the product they have, a pretty cool product. I'm anxious to demo it. A lot of good people there, too. Like, they have, I met a lot of really cool people, did some networking. It was a great event.
You said some big name companies were using their product for their SEO support.
Yeah, Retail Me Not and PM Digital and shout out to SEO Catfish. Dude's awesome. I had a chance to meet him.
Oh, yeah? That's a cool name, SEO Catfish.
Yeah, I know,
Do you
right?
noodle for that? I got one.
Cool. Yeah, he had a presentation on the whole not provided situation. And so overall, it was pretty cool. I'll post my notes from that. I even did the Google Plus rap there, which was pretty cool.
Oh, cool,
I enjoyed it. And so, punch in the face to Clarity, man. They still Clarity. Thanks for the invite. And keep me posted, man, for real. And so the second algorithm cataclysm is Google Hummingbird. So that's a new algorithm update they pushed out. And this is supposed to really they chose Hummingbird,
right?
Because it's fast, it's quick. And that's exactly what Hummingbird is supposed
like
to do.
It's kind of like a double wave, though, right?
on hyperspeed. But it's supposed to bring back results more precise and more fine-tuned, right? And one of the side effects of that is going to help longer tail searches, right? So if you're searching for, let's say, a key phrase or a search query that's maybe 6 or 7 words,
right?
Instead of Google returning a result from a page that maybe was optimized for, let's say, 2 or 3 of the words that's in your long tail phrase, there may be actually a page in their index that's more relevant,
right,
for your search query, and Hummingbird is going to help that page show. Another benefit to it is I'm thinking about voice search. So people who may be in their car,
yep.
I need to search when I'm driving, yep. And I hate to kind of look down and type. And so voice search and you end up
search and read and take pictures and play games
and all of that
while I'm driving.
And so voice search, by default, is going to be a longer search,
yep.
Right? Nobody picks up voice search and says, closest coffee. They say Starbucks nearest to where I'm at, because voice yep. search is going to kick in. GPS is going to activate all of that. And so Hummingbird is going to allow those results to be shown more faster because that's a longer tail voice search. So keep that in mind.
Good point.
Optimizing. This is a great time to keep the long tail key phrase in mind because Hummingbird is going to help that out.
Going to make it even more important.
Yeah. So that was it for my cataclysm. We did have some news. You didn't cover Google Plus being used in the YouTube comments.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. That's cool.
That's big. So
I consider that a algo cataclysm, actually.
A little bit.
It's at least, if we say Google Plus is part of the algorithm, search algorithm,
this is going to
significantly increase the number of Google Plus, not only users from the, there are, because they've got a YouTube account.
Well, I think that's what it's going to do. Those users who use YouTube, who don't use G+, well, you're going to be using G+ now to do those comments.
So what is it again? What is the change?
The change is the comment section in YouTube is now being moderated by Google Plus users and not the previous user that you
YouTube
had before.
Users.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I think that's huge. I appreciate that, and I think that's what's up. And so I will also say I think this is going to have an impact on search results because now that YouTube video is already put out by a Google user, and now if you begin getting comments and shares and favorites from authoritative Google Plus users, then that video
on that page
has to go
up.
Oh,
yeah.
It has
to.
And so, and of course, it's not documented anywhere. Google hasn't said that will happen, but come on.
Yeah.
Really. And so, that's what's up with that. That's news. That's cataclysm.
All right.
Got a couple punches in the face. Again, punch in the face to SEO Clarity. Again, thank you guys for bringing me out, man. Y'all check them out at SEO Clarity. Punch in the face to Steve Stewart at You Can Podcast. He's been following us at eWebStyle and at Best SEO Podcast.
I think his website is
youcanpodcast2.com. And the other one is Second Spring Soaps. So punch in the face to them. That's at SS Spring Designs. Thank you guys.
It smells better in here just by saying that, right?
Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate your support. Punches in the face to you guys. All right, so.
The meat.
Meat.
All right.
So I was at Search Engine Journal and got a pretty cool article, 5 online marketing trends affecting small businesses beyond 2013. So I began perusing the article and it was pretty cool. 5 pretty generic tips about what trends you should be doing if you're doing online marketing. When I figured we'd share them, we could discuss them. So number 1 was content-driven SEO. I think this is key. And you begin to think about what's been happening over the past 2 years, the whole shift has been towards content. And so even though content has always been king, the shift has been towards content with the influx of guest blogging and newer blogs coming out and video marketing and different content strategies being in place. Content has always been a driver of SEO, and now with not knowing which keywords you're using, now with Panda updates, content is even that much more important.
Content is kinger.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to take this time to encourage our listeners. Look, take your content serious. If you're going to outsource it, outsource it. But make sure it's to somebody who can really write great content for
yep.
you. and take advantage of it, because the better your content is, and you know what it is, has to be unique, needs to be relevant, then the better for you.
Yep.
If you're regurgitating content and putting up content that has no value, then you're wasting time and it's not going to work.
We had a potential client come in this week, incredibly proud of his website. He was like, look, I got more content than anybody else in my industry. And later, like 30 minutes into the meeting, he's like, oh yeah, I got all that content from other sites. Wait. So your content is better than every other site that you took
copied from
every other site.
He's like, yeah. So he was like, oh, so your content really sucks, dude. Like, there's no value to us at this point.
We're like, so that quote we gave you earlier, we're going to have to pull that back a little and make an adjustment, because we get to rewrite all your content. Wait, all of the content you jacked.
Exactly. Crazy. So number two, so that was number one, content-driven SEO. Number two is mobile devices. And again, we're talking about trends for online businesses, for small businesses that do online marketing. Mobile devices is another trend. And mobile is affecting small businesses who market online in several different ways. From a social perspective, where like you're pushing people to do check-ins and things like that, or maybe it's mobile search. Right, the example I gave earlier, maybe they're in your area or close to you, and they're searching by voice, trying to find you. That's a mobile device that's affecting your online business. Or like I said, maybe it's something else that they're doing online. Maybe they're looking for a product, and you happen to carry that product, and they're searching for it on their phone. Mobile, you have to keep mobile in mind.
Absolutely.
So just make sure that your design. You know, we had the discussion all the time. If you're going to go responsive, yeah, so that your site, you know, renders correctly in the mobile device, okay, great, do that. If you're going to do a mobile site, okay, great, do that. Whatever your strategy is, just make sure you do it, because mobile is that important. 68% of all searches are coming from mobile. That's an estimated number for 2014.
Well, I think the phrase keep mobile in mind is probably a little lax.
Yeah, it almost needs to be like
make sure you're designing for mobile in addition to non-mobile desktop.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. We don't want to say keep it in mind. Yeah, it should be part of the strategy.
Top of mind.
Mm-hmm. So number three, higher design and usability standards. I think this is key, right? Long gone are those, well, I'm going to say long gone, because every now and then you'll still see some.
Yeah, we saw
site.
Some really ugly site. Was like, man, that's I hate this site,
and it probably converts.
Works.
But long gone are those days. You can't do it now. I guarantee you that site was extremely old.
Yeah,
you can't put up a new site and it's ugly and expect it to rank. These newer sites must have a decent design. The usability must be on point. The coding has to be A1. The experience that the user has on your site must be great. Navigation must be easy to use.
Well, remember, the usability for the client and guiding the client is not necessary for placement. It will be necessary for conversion.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Yeah, I'm not talking about the usability.
Just placement. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the user experience in whole,
yeah,
which indirectly affects the placement. Because if the user lands on your site and they have a great experience, they spend some time, they make a conversion, they spend your bounce rates lower, your time on site's higher, then that will affect your placement. Yep. And your ranking will go up because of that good user experience. And so you want to make sure that your design, that your nav, that your images, that your content, everything is laid out in a fashion that that gives a good experience to the Google user, which indirectly will affect your ranking. Yep. So number four, video production. Video production is key. I mean, more and more people are going to YouTube, more and more videos and more video content is being published, more and more video platforms are being developed, right?
Yep.
It's not, YouTube is, of course, the primary and the one we tend to focus on, but there's Vimeo, there's TwitVid, there's Vine and Instagram video and all these other things that are happening. And so invest some time in video. And with the thing with video to keep in mind is that it doesn't have to be all extravagant, right? A lot of the videos that do really well, that go really viral, aren't these professionally produced studio quality videos. They're like probably from a cell phone or some other event.
A decent cell phone.
But
they need
to
be decent, yeah. But they don't need to be HD with perfect lighting. And
they don't need
this podcast video would be a decent example.
Yeah, don't exactly. Yeah. Don't need to be edited per se, right? And so don't let that hold you up from producing videos because you don't necessarily have the equipment or the technology because you might not need all of that. Do invest some time in putting videos. If you have products, maybe do some videos about how those products are being used. You offer a service, do some videos on how that service can work for people. Maybe you get a ton of frequently asked questions or something like that. Maybe create some video slideshow that addresses these questions because people will look for it and it will eventually help with your ranking. Number five, and this is the last one, and I think number five kind of really ties in all of them, social media audiences. Right. Monitor who your audience is, not what your profile is. It's a difference.
Right.
Monitor who your audience is, who actually follows you, who actually engages with you. When you publish content and you tweet it, you Facebook it, you G+ it. What type of people take action? Who comments? Who reshares it? Who retweets it? Who comments? You know, figure that out. And that's who you tailor your content to. That's who you tailor your social media message to those people who actually engage with you. What you don't want to do is create profiles and don't have any concern about the people who engage with you, and you continuously push out good content,
right?
That no one is absorbing and no one's getting to because you're targeting the wrong audience. So be sure to determine and figure out who your audience is, and then make sure that your videos, make sure that your content, make sure that your mobile and everything else is catered to them, because those are the ones who are engaging with you.
A classic part of content generation is know your audience, right?
Yes.
And we know that we're business owners out there. We want to stay focused. We've got a message that we want to give to our audience. Just be careful that message is the same or has supporting material for what the audience is looking for. For instance, if you're trying to sell insurance, right, and what you really want to express to the people is that the new healthcare program is going to be great or bad or dangerous or whatever that message, you may be stuck focused on trying to pass that message. But you have to realize somebody who just typed in insurance quote, you know, today or whatever,
don't care about that
message. You may want to get that message to them, but you got to make sure that they're finding what they're looking for first.
Yeah.
And then kind of maybe slip in the back door the fact that, hey, you should also read this white paper and here's why you should use us over somebody else because of our knowledge about the new healthcare program or whatever it is. So make sure we've started asking our customers, what message are your customers looking for? What are they looking for when they come to your website?
Yeah, compared to what message
you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Because if there's any incongruity, you've got to make sure that there's a balance and that you're satisfying the needs of what the client's looking for and also imparting a new message.
So one of the things we try to do, and you can have this tidbit for free, is like people take advantage of your thank you page, right? So let's say you have a special offer or a message you're really trying to put out. That thank you page is a great place to start that process because this person has already taken an action, right?
Yep.
They've already submitted some information
to you.
They've
committed.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's really
where it's at. Yeah, they've already invested something, even if it's just a request for a phone call or a request for a quote.
Newsletter. Or
whatever it is, they've invested that. And so why not present them with some information while they're in a position that's more likely able to receive it? Because they've already committed. So take advantage of the thank you page.
So, and remember, there's actually two thank you pages traditionally. There's the thank you page because they just filled it out. Mm-hmm. And then there's the thank you page that is emailed to them.
Yeah.
Right? And almost every process should be emailed. And actually just reminds me, we actually have a sign up for our webinar. And the webinar, you fill it out, you get a thank you page, you get an email which requires you to opt in, right? Because you're also getting into our newsletter. We won't do a webinar if you're not willing to accept our newsletter. And then I don't think I have the follow-up email to the yes, I opt in.
Mm-hmm.
And that should follow up with like us on Facebook, whatever. We will be making
us on Twitter, blah,
that
blah, blah.
Adjustment.
Yeah. So that was it, man. Five
cool
online marketing trends affecting small businesses. I'll post that article on Facebook today. And you guys check it out. Tell me what you think.
Cool. I think you got some what, right?
Blanks. Oh, some what?
Yeah.
We got some what?
We got some what?
All right.
I like that change.
Yeah.
I know you're not convinced.
No, I'm almost there.
What? My voice is not working today, so that's as good as it's going to get.
So our what news today goes at Bing. So Bing has been working on a new logo. They released some new branding. It's going out. And the Bing logo is kind of shaped like a triangle a little bit. But the reason for this what is because the Bing logo looks very, very similar to the Google Drive icon. Yeah, you see that?
You got it. We'll put that up. There you go. Yeah. Very similar to the Drive icon.
It looks very similar to the Google Drive icon. And so I'm not sure if that was done on purpose or just maybe a mistake, but
an oversight by an incredibly large company with a whole lot of people who should have looked at it and had to sign off on it.
Because I know y'all use Google. Just saying, I know y'all do. Y'all probably use Google Drive. And so somebody had to, you know, maybe that happened subconsciously.
Yep.
Maybe he did it because...
What we want to be like. Now, you look at it in the reverse, and it actually just looks like a little...
PlayStation.
It's interesting. Yeah, PlayStation. All right. What? Next week, a new what on the same logo.
Yeah.
Wow.
The reverse does look interesting, though.
Yeah. That's better.
Yeah. But now it doesn't look like a B.
Yep. At
like
all.
Like an airplane.
Wow. And didn't you have another one for BlackBerry?
They went private. Yeah,
they went private. That was just kind of news. All right.
Yeah, we expected them to do it. Hopefully they can, you know,
do something.
And make some money.
Yeah. Yeah, I brought stock in Corona when they were still doing, not Corona, I think it was Corona. There was Corona Typewriter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, it was a big company. They should be able to restructure and figure something to do. Nope. Nope, they did not. All right, you have been listening to the most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. That includes internet marketing.
Yes, it does.
And that is because of you. We really appreciate you. Thank you guys for tuning us all over there. You over in Zimbabwe, you too. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until the next podcast. Again, our next podcast, actually, we may skip it because we may be doing that installation. So we'll see. Actually, we'll probably do it on Thursday. So we're not going to fix our time. Just know that soon our time will be fixed at 12:30 Central Standard Time every Friday. So until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now.
Slightly raised up eyebrow, highbrow. Tamely, gamely, headed my way. Cool as mountain snow, girl, glow. She's gonna set me free in my